And probably the first question will be, why are you in a stolen New Republic transport with a bunch of forged IDs and passcodes you're not supposed to have access to?
I don't think you fellas truly appreciate the skill with which I pilot this craft, Taka said. But, okay. What's the plan then?
Lando and Han traded dubious glances.
Hail that New Republic flagship, Han said.
Taka made a face, but tapped a few buttons on the comm anyway, and then sat back as a gruff voice sounded over the speakers.
This is Captain Krull of the flagship Tribulon Vort. Transport freighter Vermilion, this is a restricted sector. Please state your business.
We're on a routine fact-gathering mission, Han said. And we weren't aware of the current conflict at Substation Grimdock. Requesting permission to, transport out of here.
Negative, Vermilion,
Captain Krull said.
We are currently blockading this sector and must inspect all vessels leaving the Prison Moon. I'm deploying the Krasbrucker to intercept you and perform a thorough inspection.
Up above, a medium-sized corvette broke away from the New Republic blockade and started cruising toward the surface of the substation. Taka shook their head. Han waved his hands around helplessly.
That's a negative, Captain. That's a negative. We are carrying highly radioactive materials on board, and the Krasbrucker will be compromised if it gets too close.
There was a heavy pause. The Krasbrucker appeared to accelerate toward them.
Why are you carrying radioactive weapons away from a restricted prison moon in the middle of an intergalactic incident, Vermilion?
Captain Krull demanded.
Ah, great question,
Han said, shaking his head.
We were directed to, in fact, exactly because of the incident, in question, which is, happening, you know, in this sector.
He tilted his head as if he'd somehow nailed it, then added,
as it happens.
Stand by to be boarded,
Captain Krull said, and cut the call. Taka and Lando slow-clapped.
Well, that, Lando said. Went.
A huge explosion tore through the Krasbrucker, followed by ferocious laser fire from all sides. The Radium Destrobar, that pirated Mon Cal freighter they'd shrugged off earlier, banked hard toward the Krasbrucker, unleashing another barrage of fire and putting itself directly between the New Republic ship and the Vermilion. Out in the blockade beyond it, a battalion of new RZ-2 A-Wing interceptors tore out of the Tribulon Vort, their laser fire painting flashes of red lightning across the dark sky. Captain Viz Moshara's long, sharp-cheeked face shimmered into existence in front of Han, Taka, and Lando.
What do you want?
Han spat.
I bring you an offer, actually,
the Kosian said with an uncomfortable smile.
Stop firing on that ship and we'll talk, Lando said.
In case you haven't noticed, we are under attack and blockaded in. We cannot simply stop firing.
The A-Wings had indeed closed in and were shredding the radium with laser fire from all sides, even as the radium's laser cannons blasted out at them.
Go ahead with your offer then, Lando said. But make it quick, and don't expect any favors in return.
The Kosian captain bowed slightly.
We grant you safe passage through the blockade.
It's not your blockade to offer a safe passage through,
Han said,
in case you hadn't noticed.
I think we both know,
Moshara said, with the kind of sneer only a Kosian could manage.
That between your firepower and ours, those ships won't hold up long once we light into them.
The A-Wings pulled off their attack, beaten back by relentless fire from the radium.
Why would you help us?
Lando asked. Rows of deep wrinkles circled Viz Moshara's large eyes, and they seemed to deepen somehow as the captain glared at something or someone just out of sight. A silent conversation was had, Moshara nodding and shaking his head ever so slightly, his long tail whipping back and forth anxiously behind him. Finally, he turned back to the crew of the Vermilion.
It doesn't matter why. Take our offer or be destroyed.
And then he was gone. Out in the distance, the A-Wings had pulled back to regroup and were circling back around for another run at the Radium Destro Bar. As the large pirate ships began to bank toward the New Republic blockade, a few preliminary blasts slung back and forth between the two small fleets.
I don't like any of this,
Han said. Lando squinted out at the unfolding battle.
He's on there. Gore's on that ship. He's gotta be.
Now you sound like Luke,
Han said.
What makes you so sure?
You saw plain as day Moshara was getting directions from someone else.
That could have been anyone, Lando. Don't get spooky on me.
Why else would they offer to let us through if not because someone on board, someone powerful, is forcing them to? And who else is invested in us getting where we need to go? Gore knew we were coming here to get a bead on the Phylax. And now he knows, or thinks anyway, that we've got it. And wherever we're headed next is where it'll be.
That's a whole lot of conjecture, if you ask me,
Han said.
Well, good thing no one asked...
Gentlemen, Taka interrupted. I would love to argue about which random Powen is or isn't on that pirate ship. However, we're in the middle of an active war zone, and we have to make a move.
Han and Lando looked at each other.
Blast them,
they both said. Taka laughed.
I was hoping you'd say that.
They pushed a button, and Captain Moshara's thin face appeared again.
Yes?
Captain Moshara, Taka said gleefully. We have your answer.
They slammed down the torpedo lock trip mechanism and activated the topside and wing cannons as two blasts of laser fire screamed out toward the Radium Destro Bar.
You are firing on us, Moshara screeched. What is this?
Your answer,
Taka yelled, flicking the hollow out of existence and winking at Han and Lando.
Gentlemen, battle stations.
The Vermilion roared forward in the wake of its laser blasts, letting loose a stream of laser fire as it barreled toward the Radium Destro Bar. Still fending off flybys from the New Republic interceptors, the larger ship now turned several of its aft cannons and opened fire. The Vermilion shuddered as Lando slid into the gunner's seat beneath the cockpit. Taka was sliding them deftly through the barrage of laser blasts, managing to get them grazed by only one or two.
Get ready to strafe,
Taka called over the comm as the Destrobar's green-gray bulk eclipsed the sky beneath Lando's feet. He shoved the gunner stick down hard and opened fire, raising twin rows of smoking clouds and shattered steel along the top of the ship. The Vermilion shook a few times and then careened beyond the Destro Bar, looping back almost immediately for another run.
Fighters ahead, Taka warned. Look sharp!
I always look sharp,
Lando chuckled. Three small starfighters raced toward them. Lando watched as Han's top cannons made quick work of the first two, but the third had slid down low, probably hoping to come up from beneath them and disable their wing guns. That wasn't going to happen. Lando spun his seat, the battle-torn sky reeling wildly around him, and fired, clipping the fighter's wing just as it arced up toward them, cannons blazing. The fighter spun out of control and smacked into the Radium Destro Bar with a burst of fire and smoke.
Hey, take out the sidebar turbo panels,
Lando yelled, and the fury of battle was in him now. The wild joy of destruction at every turn, both his and his enemies, slid its fingers around his own and wouldn't let go.
Then we could concentrate on that central reactor.
They would blast this ragged disgrace of a ship to pieces, and Fison Gore along with it. Fison Gore, whose hench droid had gotten the drop on Lando, who seemed to anticipate their every move, whose mysterious machinations had put them all in peril. But Lando had the upper hand. Fison had thrown in with a listless, breakable lot. And now he'd pay. Another starfighter swung toward them from behind the Destrobar, and Lando lanced it through with four shots, sending it spinning into a blast from Han's wing cannon. The fury of battle, that radiating thrum pounded ceaselessly through him, ensnared him, and rattled along in his ears as the carnage blitzed past and he reeled deeper into its flaming heart. He'd felt it as he burned through the tangled innards of the second Death Star that fateful day, and the screeching laser fire, the TIEs torpedoing toward him and catapulting into fiery catastrophes at the will of his rage, the urgent comm chatter in his ear, the brappity-brap of his heart pounding against his ribcage as the final shot neared. It all formed a rugged war song the world was playing just for him. And now, it was back, unbeckoned, as he rained laser carnage on the Radium Destrobar, gleefully laying waste to their top and dorsal weapon systems. The A-Wing zipped past, unleashing their own barrage of fire. And then, they were all clear again. Ahead of them, the half-destroyed Crassbrucker listed ungracefully away from the fray. And past that, the pirate fleet battered away at the New Republic blockade.
"One more pass should do it," Lando said, as they reeled back around.
But something was going on with the Destrobar. A light blue flame lit the edges of the engines.
"They're not about to..."
"I was about to say the same thing," Taka cut in.
"How can they?"
Han growled.
"They're too close to the substation."
"Well, let's just make extra sure," Taka said, as the Vermilion rocketed back toward the Destrobar, staying low and out of its direct path just in case they tried the impossible.
Lando felt a pinch of unease rupture that good battle fury. If the Radium Destrobar got away, well, they'd just have to keep tracking down this phalanx as planned, he supposed. But he didn't like it. Fison Gore seemed to be everywhere and nowhere at once, and it was supremely unnerving. Plus, now they'd tried to destroy him. The Mon Cal freighter didn't attempt a hyperspace jump, but it did accelerate suddenly forward, lurching up and away from the Vermilion toward the blockade, and releasing a fusillade of laser fire as it went.
"They're making a run on the blockade,"
Taka yelled, hurling the Vermilion out of the path of all that fire and then dodging a few more small fighters that had deployed from another pirate freighter.
"Or are they?"
Lando said, half to himself. The ship was heading straight for one of the pirate frigates and showed no sign of stopping.
"They're gonna..."
Han yelled, just as the Radium Destrobar smashed head-on into the top bridge of the other ship with a massive explosion. Lando squinted at the two collapsing powerhouses. A tiny figure hurled out of the rear hold of the Destrobar. Lando could just make out its all-too-familiar dark green spacesuit, gray jetpack, and black helmet. The figure blasted out into empty space just as the two ships blew apart, splattering the warring fleets on either side with fire and debris.
Lando, Masulan remnants, about 15 years ago.
"There's a signal coming from Sector 746,
L3 said, working the Navicomputer with a ferocity Lando had never seen before.
"Looks like..."
She whirled around in the seat, extending her neck by several centimeters so she could check something on the upper panels, and then sliding it back into place as both her hands clacked away on the keyboard.
"Yes."
She nodded, tilted her head.
"It's a skirmish. Looks like the Imperials called for backup."
Lando sighed.
"And I suppose you'd like me to..." "Never mind."
He veered the Falcon hard to the port side and eased down on the thrusters. The ice moon shards were smaller and more scattered in this area. They speckled the airspace around them like giant, slowly spinning snowflakes, and Lando swerved and swooped the Falcon among them with ease.
"Thank you, Lando Calrissian,"
L3 said. Lando heard the slightest tremor of emotion behind those words and his full name. He killed the sly retort that tried to slip out. Instead, just smiled.
Most people write me off,
L3 went on, when she was satisfied he wasn't going to try to turn the moment into more banter.
I mean, most people write all of us off. Droids. But especially me. I'm easy to write off in a way.
L, no.
She shushed him with a hand.
Don't. I know who I am. And that all my talk about droid rights and everything else makes people uncomfortable. The Maker didn't put me in this galaxy to make organics feel good about themselves, though.
Well, that much is clear.
And I'm okay with that. When you know what you're here to do, everything that's not that matters much less.
Lando just nodded. He hadn't thought about it like that, and he certainly had no idea what he was here to do, except cause trouble and make a whole pile of money doing it. But that probably wasn't what L3 had in mind.
And anyway, who is the Maker but our own selves, really? Sure, some guy in a factory probably pieced me together originally, and someone else programmed me, so to speak. But then the galaxy itself forged me into who I am. Because we learn, Lando. We're programmed to learn, which means we grow. We grow away from that singular moment of creation, become something new with each changing moment of our lives. Yes, lives. And look at me. These parts.
She ran her hand along the mesh of wiring and the rebranded astromech of her midsection.
I did this. So maybe when we say the Maker, we're referring to the whole galaxy? Or maybe we just mean ourselves. Maybe we are our own makers, no matter who put the parts together.
Guess I hadn't thought of it like that,
Lando admitted. He paused, watching the ice formations of an ancient moon slide past.
Then, guess it's true for us organics, too, in a way.
It is, but what I was trying to say was that you pretend not to care about all the stuff I'm always blabbering about. We joke about it, and you roll your eyes. But you do care, Lando Calrissian. I know you do. So you don't have to say it. You show it, and that's more important. Most important.
Well,
Lando said. And then he stopped because he realized he had no idea what to say to that. She was right, of course, but once again, L3 had put words to something Lando had always kind of sensed, but never really figured out how to say. Anyway, actions mattered more, right? So he just nodded and slid the Falcon through another slowly spinning cluster of the remnants. And then laser fire lit the sky ahead like a deep space lightning storm, and the dull rumble of an exploding starfighter reached them.
Here we go,
Lando said.
Stay close to the remnants. Better if we get a lock on what's going on rather than go in shooting.
I couldn't agree more.
Lando cut the engines and banked behind one of the larger shards. Farther out in the ice field, laser fire sliced back and forth through the darkness. Lando counted 4 ties plus the shuttle. The remains of 2 others were slowly dispersing through the remnants amid plumes of smoke. Lando squinted through the cockpit viewport.
I can't. What are they shooting at?
There's no ship on the scanner. But...
There!
Something dashed between 2 spinning ice asteroids. The space-suited figure that had escaped the chamber. Blaster fire raged out from each hand as he emerged again, clipping the wing of one of the ties. The tie spun wildly and then regained control, but by the time it returned fire, the figure was gone.
This cat is not playing around,
Lando said. 2 of the ties swung to the side in a bid to flank the mysterious figure. Both reeled suddenly backward as a series of small, squirming shapes flew toward them and clamped onto their windows and wings.
What are those?
Lando asked. L3 tapped something into the navicomputer, checked the sensor screen, looked up slowly. Lando heard her single eye fixture whir as it narrowed on the 2 flailing ties.
Droids,
she said finally.
Kind of.
Kind of? What in the stars?
I tell you to get closer, but that's not what we're here for.
I mean, I'm glad to hear it, but what are we here for, if not...
That!
L3 yelled, pointing at something blipping a slow trajectory a few clicks away from them on the sensor screen. Lando quirked an eyebrow.
That? It looks... small.
It is, and no, I don't know what it is. But it's what all this fuss is over. And it's what D9 was tracking for me.
For me? L3 really did have a whole other life that Lando had basically no concept of. A network of like-minded droids, he was beginning to realize. One of the TIE fighters let out a splatter of fire, spinning out of control, and then crashed into the other. Both exploded, their charred, shattered shells falling away. The small, squirming sort of droids had fluttered off just before the collision, and now were working their way back to where the figure waited on top of an ice shard. When they reached him, he turned to the last remaining TIE and the shuttle, then blasted directly at them, firing his hand cannons one by one in quick succession. The small objects hurtled into space alongside him. Three peeled off almost immediately and flew at the TIE as the figure made straight for the shuttle with the other four.
It's coming. Should be in sight within. There!
She pointed a long steel finger out past the remnants. The figure had somehow ducked and dodged around the Imperial shuttle's barrage of forward cannon fire, and now was standing on its cockpit, shooting directly down with both blasters. Then he looked suddenly up and away, directly at the tiny object hurtling through the distance.
Go!
L3 yelled.
Go!
Lando hit the thrusters, and the Falcon tore out from behind the ice shard. The figure spun around, glaring at them as they roared past. Lando made out a long, Powan face through the visor, eyes narrowed to wrathful slits.
Faster,
L3 urged.
Don't worry, Lando chuckled. That guy might have just taken out a whole squad of TIEs all by himself, but no jetpack can outrun the
Something smacked against the cockpit windscreen with a wet, metallic clank and stayed there, squirming. Lando grunted, narrowing his eyes. Whatever that thing was, it wasn't going to startle him off course like it had the Imperials.
L, see if you can...
Already on it,
L3 muttered, hands flying across the control panels.
What is it, though?
Lando glanced quickly enough to see a festering pink tentacle writhe against the glass within a metallic frame. Six robotic legs locked onto the Falcon's viewport, and tiny organic tendrils snaked through them.
What in the mutant cyborg creature hell?
Lando yelled. He forced his attention back to the object they were hurtling toward.
Get rid of that thing, L!
Working on it,
L3 said.
But it's already accessed the...
The Falcon sputtered and veered suddenly to the side, engines fizzling, then restarting.
Ah!
Lando yelled.
Now the computers,
L3 finished.
Hang on. Let me see if I can override.
Hanek seized Lando Calrissian. It wasn't a feeling he was deeply familiar with, and that made it all the worse.
What's happening?
Still veering and sputtering, the Falcon rocked suddenly forward.
We're taking fire, Lando said. What's out there? I need my steering and engines back now, L.
L3's hands flew desperately across the control panels. Coming in 3, 2... The engines roared to life, and the Falcon jolted forward. Lando pulled hard to the side, barely missing a floating ice shard, and then settled back into his trajectory and gunned it. The strange half-droid creature still writhed on the windscreen, but it seemed to be panicking now, tendrils and metal legs squirming even faster. A blast of something hurled past them from behind. That jet-packed maniac was still on their tail. Imagine an entire ship running away from a single man. Lando hated it, but he knew that it was no ordinary adversary. And anyway, the Falcon was compromised. They'd have to sort that out before they could go head-to-head with that fool and wipe him out for good.
That thing incapacitated our landing gear, navicul, and tractor beam.
Lando seethed. Well, what are we...
Be quiet and listen for a second. Just get me close enough that I can get a read on it. That's all you need to do. Then make the jump.
For a few seconds, Lando let the silence between them grow long. Then the Falcon shook with another explosion. Whatever that guy's blasting us with, Lando said, rear shields aren't going to be able to take much more of it.
Affirmative. Just get us to that device. I'll see if I can keep him busy.
She clicked the top cannon into service and released a scatter spray of fire. Then the blasts splayed a wild arc ahead of them.
What are you...
Lando started.
Oh.
The contraption had sliced into their artillery computers, too.
I'm going out there,
L3 said, standing and making her way out of the cockpit before Lando could stop her.
L, he called. Be careful!
A few seconds of scattered laser fire, and the roaring engines passed. The shards of ice swung by, and another explosion rocked the rear shields, this one smaller than the others. Up ahead, the object gradually became more than a dot. It was tiny, though, whatever it was. The tentacle writhed and squirted some kind of ichor within its metallic casing, and Lando resisted the urge to punch the windscreen to see if it'd flinch. And then L3 appeared, appendages clamped magnetically to the side of the Falcon, her whole body leaning into the rush of space around her. She raised one arm and immediately was tugged backward by the sheer press of their thundering velocity. Lando cooled the thruster slightly and almost immediately got rocked by another blast from behind. The shields were one more hit away from gone. L3 steadied herself, leaned forward, stretched one arm, bracing herself this time. A bolt of blue electricity fizzled forth from her hand, wrapping around the tentacled droid beast. It shook, lighting up the whole cockpit with a flare of blue as that gooey liquid conducted L3's shock all through its core. The organic parts trembled and then turned a crusty brown as smoke plumed off it. L3 leaned back just as the thing released its grip and was whisked off into space. Yes! Lando yelled, slamming the thrusters back on and tearing forward.
Get me to it!
L3 yelled through the comm. Lando nodded, pressing harder. Another blast reached him, but it was a small one. The shield held. They were coming up on the device. Lando swung to the side in a wide arc and then looped toward it, slowing. L3 leaned all the way out, arms stretched. The device was somewhat bigger than Lando had thought, about the size of a speeder, and it looked to be crafted from a hodgepodge of different droid and starship parts, like some kind of floating junk craft. But there was a certain sharp geometry to it. Someone had created it with precision and intentionality, not just thrown a bunch of detritus into a pile and set it adrift. The Falcon jolted as Lando slowed toward the device. That jet-packed Powan fool was still blasting toward them, letting off shot after shot from his hand cannons.
Almost there! Just a little closer!
Lando inched forward, veering slightly to position L3 just beside the device. Two more hits slammed into the Falcon's side compartments.
Come on, Lando whispered. Come on!
L3 stretched out both arms and lifted her face so that single eye aligned directly with the device.
Got it!
Great. Now get back in and let's blast out of here.
L3 disappeared, and Lando swung the laser cannons around and let loose on the approaching figure. The bugger was fast, though. He nimbly swerved back and forth, and then zipped up and out of sight. Lando checked the sensor screen. Nothing. The cockpit door slid open, and L3 burst in.
Let's go!
Didn't have to tell Lando twice. He pulled down the hyperdrive lever, laid a spray of fire out around them just in case, and then burst into hyperspace.
The Vermilion. Now.
That was him!
Lando yelled, careening up the circular stairwell to the cockpit.
What was who?
Han demanded, climbing down the ladder from his gunport.
What even just happened?
Taka wailed. Out in space, the two fiery husks were still hemorrhaging debris into the atmosphere. The impact had caused both fleets to pause in their attacks and take stock. So, that was something.
Fazen Gor, Lando said. Fazen Gor, the guy in the spacesuit that jettisoned off just before the Destro Bar blew.
Han crossed his arms over his chest and tilted up his chin.
And how, he said very slowly, exactly, do you know what Fazen Gor's spacesuit looks like?
Don't make things complicated, Lando growled. We gotta go after him.
Han held up a hand.
How exactly do you know what Fazen Gor's spacesuit looks like?
Taka and Han were both staring at Lando now.
Listen.
He put both hands up, palms out, and tilted his head with a wry chuckle.
Listen.
Oh, we're listening, Han said. Aren't we, Taka?
All ears, as the Kowakian monkey lizards say.
It's that...
For the second time that day, Lando was at a loss for words. His least favorite way to be. Han spared him the trouble.
I'll tell you what it is. It's that you had a run-in with Gor, too. Well, the Falcon was with you, I'm guessing.
Look.
No, you look!
Han put his finger up in Lando's face. Lando considered breaking it, decided he might need that particular finger's help at some point soon, stepped back instead.
You just up and decided this was all my fault,
Han continued,
without even bothering to reveal that you yourself had seen this guy, dealt with him, probably dealt with the damn Phalanx itself before.
I didn't know what it was at the time,
Lando protested.
I barely saw it at all. I figured it out later, when we were putting all the pieces together.
I bet you did.
Han took another step forward. Behind Lando, the stairway spiraled down into the gunner port. It would be a messy fall, especially with a cape on.
Guys,
Taka said, getting between them.
Easy.
No easy,
Han scowled.
This guy almost broke my nose, which would have made the second time my nose got broken over this damn Phalanx, by the way. And now it turns out he's just as much to blame for this mess as I am.
That's a damn lie,
Lando yelled.
Gor came looking for the owner of the ship that stole this little toy. I barely got close enough to see the thing clearly. Never got my hands on it. You're the one he was looking for.
So it's my fault because I'm a better thief than you?
You decided to leave my name on the Falcon registration when you cheated to take it off my hands.
Cheated?
Han scoffed.
That's rich, coming from the guy who...
He stopped, looked around.
Why are we moving?
They all turned to look out the cockpit viewport. They were indeed gliding quickly toward the New Republic flagship.
Taka,
Lando said. Taka was already at the pilot station, scrabbling at the buttons.
Bad news.
Han and Lando put their hands on their hips at the same time. Then Lando quickly crossed his over his chest.
The Tribulon Vort has us in their tractor beam.
We gathered that,
Han said.
Can you get us out of it?
Fine way to treat the crew that just saved their skins,
Lando grumbled. Taka was still pressing buttons frantically.
I don't think so. At least not without starting another galactic incident. They've stopped pulling us in, though. Now they're just keeping us from bolting. So that's something.
Lando glanced at Han.
You and I better costume up. Tell the others to get into the hidden smuggler hold.
There are chemical protection suits under the bench in the cargo bay, Taka said.
Han squinted one eye at Lando, then the other.
To be continued,
he snarled, then walked out.
You bit,
Lando snapped at the closing door, although he sincerely hoped it wouldn't be.
They're hailing us,
Taka said. Lando came up beside them and gazed out at the approaching Star Cruiser.
I don't like this, Taka.
Greetings, Vermilion.
Captain Krull's monotone droned over the comms. Outside the cockpit viewport, a medium-sized transport detached from the Tribulon Vort and headed toward them. That, Lando thought, was a ship. Its sleek aerodynamic design meant it was probably recently built. One of the new Tri-Vault Corp models, probably. And the whole thing just gleamed. The long cockpit stretched ahead of its half-moon body, like a bigger, slicker version of the ship Sanastaros rolled around the galaxy in.
The New Republic appreciates your service and would like to inquire about your actual designation and exact cargo.
Really? Taka muttered. The whole New Republic?
Pardon me?
Nothing, Taka said. As stated, we are the transport ship Vermilion, and we're tasked with retrieving sensitive material from the prison moon.
And chemical weapons, Lando added.
Of course,
Captain Krull chortled. Lando could almost hear the false pleasantries snap out of his voice.
We are approaching with a landing party in the shuttle ship Chevalier. Prepare to be boarded.
You didn't really give us much choice, Taka said.
And please don't make this any more difficult than it has to be,
the captain added.
The pirated vessels have surrendered now that their two largest warships destroyed each other. We'd hate to have any more unnecessary carnage today.
The Vermilion shuddered as the Chevalier eased up against it and the two airlocks clicked into place.
This won't be one we can just shoot our way out of,
Han muttered, walking back in with a full chem protection suit on. He handed Lando and Taka theirs. Lando narrowed his eyes at Han.
That's never stopped you from trying before. Why don't you let me do the talking this time?
Han looked offended. Even through three layers of anti-chem radium-proof fiber and a tinted breathing mask.
I'm a good talker.
And I'm a freshly shaved bantha, Lando said, suiting up.
Everyone else safely stashed away?
Han nodded.
Had to wake up the little pig guy, Plork or whatever. And it took some, encouragement. But they're all below, yeah. Your girlfriend looks like she's ready to blast her way out, too. Not for nothing.
Girlfriend?
Taka said, zipping up the last layer of the suit and adjusting their goggles.
She's not my girlfriend,
Lando insisted.
I thought this one was different,
Han said.
She is. She just... Well, you know what? Let's concentrate on getting out of this mess and tracking down Gore so we can all go home and go about our lives, okay?
That's exactly what I was trying to do,
Han shot back as they headed into the main hall of the Vermilion.
When you showed up fist first at my balcony door, hot shot.
None of this would have happened if you hadn't been so deep in debt you had to chase every low-life job that swung your way.
Just because I was good enough to actually catch the damn thing, and you barely even got a look at it, doesn't mean...
Greetings, gentlemen,
Captain Krull said, stepping on board through the airlock. He was a short man, with an aggressively bored face, sleepy eyes, and a pugnacious goiter. He stood at attention, surveying the dingy hull of the Vermilion, with an air of mild distaste. Two towering KX security droids emerged from the airlock behind him and stood to either side, their long arms dangling from wide shoulders that seemed to have spit out an incongruously small round head. For a moment, no one said anything.
Ha! Krull chortled. You are concerned about the droids, no doubt. Of course. They were indeed once Imperial units, yes, but we found them quite easy to reprogram, you know. and I assure you they are quite content fighting for whomever they're programmed to.
No one else found it funny.
You're not wearing a chem suit,
Lando pointed out.
Ah, yes, quite. No, indeed, the captain said. It seems, I'm afraid, we don't believe a word you said, of course. The story appeared extremely, unlikely, really. Your little narration, as it were.
We have passcodes,
Taka said.
The ship is registered with the NR Prison Transport Authorities. I can show you all the documents you need.
Oh, that won't be necessary, of course.
Oh?
You see, we've had quite a bad turn of things here, you know, what with Sergeant Megaron's amnesty and all. He was never trustworthy, you know. We never trusted him, that is. He was always quite the Imperial, is what I mean. No reason to think he'd be anything different when the war was over. But, of course, Chancellor Mothma had her own plans, her own form of amnesty, if you will. So we got to go right on ahead running the substation Grimdock Prison. And, of course, here we are, aren't we? The sergeant went ahead and freed all the Imperial-friendly death squads and terrorists and such, first one by one, then in a giant general flood, unfortunately. And it seems they contacted some of their pirate friends to come pick them up. And so, of course, we had to bring the fleet in, didn't we? So we did, and blockaded the fools in. But here we are, or were, I suppose. Bit of a standoff, really.
Quite quiet,
Taka said. Han elbowed them.
Which brings us to your little vessel, doesn't it?
Seems you have quite a bit of firepower on here, if I'm quite clear on what I witnessed. Wouldn't you say that's the case? Lando hadn't been sure who exactly the captain had been addressing with all his weird little rhetoricals, but suddenly both KX droids perked up slightly and nodded.
Indeed, indeed,
they chirped. Lando had just about had enough of this nonsense. The standoff made sense now. He'd heard about this Sergeant Megaron, had thought it was ridiculous to leave him in charge of a prison full of like-minded war criminals, but no one asked Lando what he thought, and it explained why Leia had gotten that early morning wake-up call from Mothma the same day Lando had shown up to Deck Han. But to be lectured at so imperiously by this low-level bureaucratic cog, it took everything in Lando not to tell the captain off.
So, who will answer for this ship and its mission? Hmm?
Krull demanded, all traces of the genial old uncle gone.
Who will tell me?
He got up in Han's masked face.
Why exactly this little pewty pot has a more functional artillery than my Star Cruiser? Hmm?
Amazingly, Han didn't deck the captain. He just stammered through yet another boneheaded explanation, littered with errs and non sequiturs, and then stood at attention as if he'd made sense. Lando put a gloved hand over his goggles and shook his head. The captain whirled around and stepped far too deep into Lando's personal space, gazing up at him.
Would you like to give it one more shot before I have my droids tear this ship apart, young man? Perhaps you could make more sense than your friend here.
It's like we told you, Lando said.
You told me nothing!
Dots of the captain's spittle sprinkled Lando's goggles. That was it. Now he was going to have to deck the guy. They'd deal with the droids one way or another. He widened his stance, tightened both fists, and was pulling back when a blue image shimmered out into the middle of the room. Senator Leia Organa.
Captain Krull,
Leia said in a voice that didn't conceal the sharp edge it wielded. The captain gaped for a few seconds at the hollow, taking a step back as if it might suddenly explode all over him. His already pale face blanched even further. Then he snapped to attention.
Senator Organa.
Lando noticed Han cock his head at the sudden appearance of his wife. Then both Han and Lando glanced back to the source of the projection. Taka.
It seems you've stumbled upon a highly classified intelligence mission of the utmost secrecy, Leia said.
I'm not quite sure I understand, Krull stuttered.
Oh, I'm quite sure you don't, Leia said with a wry smile. At least you'd better not. The information is quite a bit above your level of classification, I'm afraid. So if you do know what I'm talking about, a massive data breach has occurred, which will, of course, trigger an intensive investigation.
No, no, Krull shook his head, insistent. I assure you, I have absolutely no idea whatsoever of that which you speak of. In fact, I was trying to ascertain exactly that information, without, of course, knowing of its classified status, when you appeared in such a timely and remarkable, fashion.
Very well, Captain Krull.
Lando knew he was pretty skilled in the art of saying one thing and conveying another, but Leia Organa took it to a whole other level entirely. She was smiling, and even her body language seemed to agree with the words, but there was no mistaking the threat lying barely concealed beneath the surface of what she said.
As I said,
the senator continued,
these three agents are on a top-secret mission on behalf of the Galactic Senate. They have been invested by the New Republic with the authority to do whatever must be done to succeed in that mission. They are also, I might add, heroes of the rebellion, all of them. They warrant nothing less than the utmost respect and subservience from any loyal member of the New Republic Armed Services. Have I made myself perfectly clear, Captain?
Abundantly, Krull said, snapping a salute.
Further, you are to provide these New Republic agents with every resource necessary and available to you that will assist them on their mission.
It shall be so, Senator Organa.
I'm pleased to hear it, Captain Krull.
She returned his salute, then shot a sly nod at Han.
Good luck, agents of the New Republic. You have all of our gratitude for your service.
And then she was gone. And three masked faces looked at Captain Krull.
Well, the captain said, seems I... quite... yes, yes.
Seems you what?
Lando asked, relishing the moment.
Seems I... apparently... owe you each a sincere...
He nodded, then made little circles with his hand, indicating, etc., etc.
I didn't quite hear what it was you owe us, Lando said.
Apology, the captain sputtered. I owe you an apology, it seems.
Lando mused.
Indeed, indeed.
The Chevalier, now.
Your little transport is cool and all,
Lando was saying to Taka as Han walked onto the ultra-fancy deck of the Chevalier.
But this is living.
Whatever, Taka grumbled. The Vermilion got us where we needed to go and jacked up that Mon Cal cruiser, which I'm quite sure this little ship could not do.
Touché,
Lando said, running his fingers along the velvety seat cushions and playing with the adjustable light fixtures.
But still.
He lay out on one of the benches and wrapped his hands behind his head.
Luxury.
I'm with you, Taka,
Han said.
This is a whole lot. The Navicom computer's nice, though, gotta admit.
Chewie glanced around and grunted something unimpressed.
Speaking of admitting things,
Han said with a pointed look at Taka. Taka threw up both hands and flashed a wily grin.
I can explain.
Lando said, sitting up. Better start, then.
Here, actually.
They tapped something into the data pad on the impressive, unblemished, state-of-the-art holoprojector.
She can explain better.
Leia's smiling face appeared full-sized and totally unpixelated before them.
Now that is an impressive holoprojector,
Lando said.
Well,
Han said,
if it isn't my loving wife.
We did agree not to talk about the details of work stuff,
Leia reminded him. It didn't help that she was looking particularly gorgeous in a simple blue gown, and the holoprojector's precise rendering made it feel like she was right there in front of him. That uncomfortable feeling snaked up around Han's heart again. That longing.
Seems like that made more sense when our work didn't intersect quite this much,
Han said. He was good at making things needlessly complicated, he realized. But this was very simple. He missed his wife. And there she was, right in front of him, and a billion clicks away. And keeping secrets.
There's something you want to tell me?
Leia frowned.
Maybe we should talk in private.
No. I think here is exactly the place to have this conversation, since Taka already apparently knows more about what's going on with you than I do.
I can go, Lando suggested, standing.
No!
Han and Leia both growled.
Lando sat back down.
Alrighty then.
Taka isn't just some random pilot you hired,
Leia admitted.
They work for me.
You're spying on me?
Han said.
No,
Leia said.
That's not it.
I'm listening.
I knew about what was going on at the prison. That was the emergency call I got from Mon the morning Lando showed up. Wasn't hard to figure out that the two situations might well be related. And from what I heard about Gore at the Security Council meeting, it sounded...
Her voice trailed off. Han narrowed his eyes.
Yes?
It sounded like there was a chance you two might be in over your heads.
Lando stood again, fists on his hips.
You sent us a bodyguard?
Not exactly,
Leia said.
While the New Republic was massing part of its fleet at Grimdock to prepare for what was about to happen, we also deployed agents to hunt down the early recipients of Magaron's amnesty that had trickled out before the levees broke. So Taka's mission corresponds nicely with yours. On top of that, they happen to be a skilled pilot and one of the best fighters I know.
She looked back and forth at Han's and Lando's skeptical faces.
Besides you two, of course.
How did you know we'd hire them?
Han demanded.
I figured your own name might get your attention,
Leia said with a snicker.
Hard to argue that point,
Lando admitted.
Quiet, you!
Han snapped.
And then it was just a matter of making sure they had exactly what you were looking for.
Well, I'll be damned, Lando said. I do believe she played us.
It was for your own good,
Leia said, still grinning.
But yes, you've been played.
You...
Han sputtered. Leia got serious.
I am sorry I deceived you, though.
Lando nodded.
Thank you.
That was for my husband,
Leia snapped.
Not you, Hotshot.
Oh. Han shrugged. That's all right, I guess.
Leia gave him the look that meant she was waiting for him to say more. But what else was there to say? Besides everything, of course. They'd only been apart for a couple of days, and he already felt the absence of having someone to talk about all the little nonsenses of his day with. No, not someone. Her. Leia. Who knew when to push him and when to let him be. Leia, who understood his silences as clearly as his words. Leia, who still fell asleep holding him tight sometimes, like if she let go, she'd float away.
In truth, Han said, suddenly feeling the weight of everyone else's stares on him, you actually really saved our skins. I mean, Taka has... At least twice now, by my count.
He nodded awkwardly at Taka, who smiled.
So, as much as... You know... Yeah.
He tilted his head in deference to the deception, the apology, all that.
I appreciate what you did. So, thank you.
Leia smiled.
You're welcome.
Ben's little head appeared in the hollow, and his eyes went wide.
Dada!
Hans stepped back, and an unstoppable smile burst across his face.
Hey, kiddo. You all right?
Ben nodded, then opened a toothy grin of his own.
Uncle Wenwo!
Hey, little starfighter, Lando said.
All right, Leia said. I'll let you guys go. Be safe out there.
She blew Han a kiss and waved at the other two.
Say bye, Ben.
Come back, Dada,
Ben said, articulating each word carefully.
Soon, son. I promise,
Han said.
As soon as...
Peekpa announced, bustling in the room with her data pad and a confident grin on her small furry face.
That happens, Han finished.
Leia signed off with Ben, still waving wildly at everyone. Chewie and Kasha came in next, discussing something quietly, and then pausing to admire the Chevalier's impressive interior design. They dropped off a still-cringing Captain Krull, along with Aro on the Tribulon Vort, and with the Chevalier still attached on the Vermilion, blasted far enough away from substation Grimdock not to get wrapped up in whatever further nonsense unraveled there.
First order of business, Taka said. Peekpa?
A holomap of the galaxy zipped snappily into place in front of them. It was pristine and meticulously detailed. If you stared long enough, you'd actually feel like you were floating amid the stars along some spectral intergalactic currents.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Lando said.
Peekpa explained in an excited ramble as a series of blinking red dots appeared across the hollow map. Lando squinted at the map.
Does anyone?
I do, Kasha said. She said the Imperials had been tracing the Phalanx Redux transmitter, but couldn't get an accurate enough signal to bother deploying for it. It would pop up every couple of years, but only the slightest bleep of a signal, and then it'd be gone. When it next showed up, it'd be somewhere else entirely.
And these dots are its locations over time?
Han asked.
Looks like it's a pretty clear trajectory, no?
The points formed a jagged line across the mid-rim.
Why didn't they just calculate where it'd probably be next and then go there?
Peekpa squeaked and chirped a complex reply, which Kasha translated.
Sounds like they did, but it wasn't there. There are numerous logs from a particular Imperial commander, Admiral Ruus Fastent, who went excavating for it a number of times. He got a bit obsessed with it, Peekpa has surmised from the notes, and it might have driven him mad. He was given an honorable discharge a few years before the Battle of Yavin, and shoved in an Imperial asylum on Grava. Never heard from again.
So what? This thing has given off a phantom signal of some kind?
Lando said, eyes flickering with the hollow map lights.
Like a signal that's refracted of another source?
Kasha suggested.
Or it doesn't exist at all anymore,
Han said.
And what's left is just an echo.
Lando shook his head.
Imagine all this for a ghost of a device?
Chewie roared and shook his head.
I don't think so either, Chewie,
Han said.
Peekpa, what else you got?
Peekpa nodded sagely at Chewie, and then erupted into another high-pitched discourse.
Oh,
Kasha said, scratching her chin and nodding as Peekpa talked.
Fascinating.
Care to share with the rest of us?
Lando asked, raising an eyebrow.
Peekpa doesn't think it's gone. The signals might be refracted, but even weak as they are, they're not some leftover thing. More than likely, according to Peekpa, this Fizen Gore character programmed the Phalanx to move in a random, or at least self-determined trajectory through the galaxy. Probably, she thinks, so he wouldn't have the information himself, so it couldn't be tortured out of him. And the homing signals it's sending out are encrypted, essentially. They're not where the Phalanx is, but they correspond to points where it was, somehow. or maybe even where it's going. And probably only Fison has the key to unlock the code.
We still don't know what exactly this thing is, Lando reminded them. If we could just take out Fison...